I'm going to introduce our second speaker, Reggie from California.
I'm an addict, and my name is Reggie. And I'm so grateful I'm grateful that I have friends that know me better than I know myself and that love me. I'm grateful that I have friends that don't listen to me, because one of my friends sent a CD in that I did somewhere, and I had absolutely no intention and no idea that this individual had sent this CD, and I am not a circuit speaker. I don't have, you know, the opening, and then you fill it up, and then you go back and refer to it, and I don't have any of that, and I love that. I'm not that guy. And so one of my crazy friends sent my CD in, and I got this message that, congratulations. And I'm still in this process, so I kind of have sort of a, I don't have a smart mouth anymore, but my thoughts get kind of smart. So I was like, congratulations for what? And they said that I would be speaking here. And so at this point, I think it's appropriate for me to thank the convention committee from the bottom of my heart for the opportunity to be here, and to thank all of you. For giving me. I guess I want to say just a little bit about how I got here. I'm always distracted by the newcomer, because I think that some of the most fantastic examples of this program walk in the door every time we have a meeting. They give me hope when I forget, or when I get too slick for the program, or when I talk during the readings because I've memorized them. And I forget that the information is as valid today as when these principles were first formulated. And so, for a guy like me, I have to be reminded sometimes by a newcomer, I've not heard this before. This is my first time at this meeting. This is my first time at any meeting. This is my first year in this meeting, and I haven't gotten comfortable enough or complacent enough, whichever you have the most courage to say, where I can just sort of sit here and allow you, Mr. Person with a little bit of time, to talk over this literature. I believe in the literature of the program, and I don't know how it is where you are, but we have, and I have been, and I guess I need to get honest about this, I have been a professional recovering person. No, it's true. Yeah. The professional recovering person is that guy or that woman who kind of knows how it all goes. Yeah. You know, you come in and this person is supposed to be at their post, and that person is supposed to be doing that, and these readings are done here, and you missed that word, and you need to take your time during the steps, and what's with all this chanting, and they don't do it like this in my area, and that makes me uncomfortable, and I thought that meetings were a safe space, and... And I was just thinking a couple of things. There are two times when I really know what my spiritual condition is, and I'm going to share those with you. So just thinking about this now. Two times when I really know what my spiritual condition is. When I'm in a business meeting. Oh, no. I can share real, real good from the floor, from the podium. I can share real, real good. But when my spirituality or the lack thereof shows up, it's in a business meeting. Particularly if I'm right. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been right in a business meeting, and then you're confronted with the idea of our traditions that it's not whether or not I'm right, it's God as God works in our group conscience. So no matter what I think about it, if we don't think it's a good idea, what is it... If it's not practical, it's not spiritual. And if I'm the only one, and I'm trying to run the meeting, that's not practical. Even if I'm right. And if that's not practical, then that's not spiritual. So the business meeting, that's the first one. The second time is when I'm in my car. It's an honest program, and I don't have anything to lose. I'm trying to free myself today, so I just thought I'd share with you where I'm at. It doesn't matter what I have written in a third step or an 11th step. When I get in my car, it is the litmus test of my spiritual condition. If everything is good, I'm like... Please, go in front of me, no problem. I can't control anything. God is in charge. But if I'm not spiritually fit, it sounds like... Beep, da, 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 beep. Get out of the way. Yeah. Because that's the kind of consistent addict I am. Yeah. Yeah. Project. Yeah, I'm a project. I'm a project. Yeah. I need to say a couple of things to you. I need to tell you that, I don't believe that I'm sick. Don't believe that. I think that one of the things that I learned and that you guys gave me here was that you told me that the tired old lie, that the lie was dead. And it's taken me all this time to, on deep, deep, deep levels, uncover, discover, recover, discard, explore, have fear, and move through it anyway. It's taken me a long time to realize that I had another identity that didn't have anything to do with sick. I'm going to say a couple of things. I just, you know, for anybody that understands disease in any other area, my experience has been that if I identify as a diseased thing, I act like a diseased thing. But if I begin to identify with the principles of this program, I begin to open some space in my heart for a new way of life. What do you mean? The literature says, from the first day, the 12 steps, not I worked the first three perfectly, from the first day, the 12 steps become a part of our lives. And I need all 12 steps to walk this new way of life that you all have given me. And here's how that works out today. It works out like this. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. But in order to get there, I've got to be willing to do some things in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Because I'm not really current in my life until I get to step 10 anyway. I'm still looking back. Were, admitted, were, decisions, were, back, looking back. By the time I get to step 10, this idea that there's something wrong with my brain and with my mind, it says we have the privilege of thinking. But the other thing it says in We Do Recover, which is interesting for me, is that it talks about ideas. Now, I recognize today that ideas are different than my mind. I have a perfectly good, God-given mind that is susceptible to a whole lot of foolishness. Like, I still think when I walk in a room, if I don't know everybody, they must be thinking about me. I have a really good mind. As a result of being in this program, I've gone back to school a couple of times and gotten a couple of pieces of paper and done some things. And that's as a result of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. But do you know that I still have the ability to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory? It can be a perfectly good day. And one thing happens. One thing. My mind will tell me, here's a thought for you. This is the beginning of the end. You knew it wasn't going to last. It's been good for a long time. So this God-given mind that I have thinks these thoughts. And unless I have some other information, I can start believing them. And if I believe them, then I'm susceptible to act on them. And if I'm susceptible to act on them, then they can become a part of my character. When the thoughts that were wrong become actions that were wrong and become a part of my character, then we call them defects. On the other hand, when I get some good information in here, because I'm willing to come in and sit down and listen to some people who have more experience than I do, an amazing thing happens. I start dreaming different dreams. My goals are different. My outlook is different. My feelings change. I want to tell you all that I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I was part of the Fabulous Club. Oh, yeah. I had a need to be fabulous all the time. It was about being fabulous. That's what it was about. It was about fixing up the outside. It was about pretending. It was about wearing the masks. And when you all said, that's not what we do here, I thought, well, why am I here? There must be some mistake. But as a result of staying around here, and I'm going to say this, I stay in Narcotics Anonymous because I'm absolutely sure that I'm not done using yet. I'm not done. I'm not done. I'm not through. I've seen my ability to reach a bottom and start digging. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. I've seen myself with this incredible ability to take pain over and over and over and absorb more and more and more degradation over and over again. So now today, I don't wait until I hit a bottom to surrender. I believe that you can surrender anytime you make a decision. I believe you don't have to wait for the last soldier to die before you surrender. I need to tell you some things about what's going on in the here and now. We're sharing the here and now. I paid her to do that. I want to take you through the basic text, and I want you to know how much of this program I know. I want you to know how I work the traditions, and I want you to know that I have a sponsor. I want you to know a lot of things, but what you really need to know is what's going on with me right now. What's going on right now for me is that I have an incredible amount of gratitude because in this room tonight are the reasons that I'm here today. The 9:30 wake-up meeting of Narcotics Anonymous in New York City. That's where it started for me. 1-2-3, cha-cha-cha, New Brunswick. They were there when I came back with 3 days clean, with my tail between my legs, trying to figure out what happened. Yeah. The Monday candlelight meeting in Los Angeles, California. Men in Recovery in Berkeley. Yeah. And then I look out and I look at all the meetings that I've been to since I've been here. The fellowship in Soho in London that held me. The fellowship in Sweden that welcomed me. My friends Repe and Sala from Finland that were there for me when I needed them to be there when I showed up in Helsinki and didn't know where I was. New Zealand was there for me. Australia has been there for me. Paris has been there for me. Barcelona is here right now for me. So I'm held. So I can tell you that my big problem right now is that I want somebody that doesn't want me. I want somebody that does not want me. I want some things that are not good for me. And I stayed here long enough to know that everything that is good to me is not necessarily good for me. The 6 and 7 step tell me that unless I'm willing to turn some things over and to get humble, bad word. I used to think that being humble meant getting small, being insignificant, being pushed in the corner. But I found out that humility is really just being the right space, being the right size at the right time, doing the right thing. I can't make somebody want me that doesn't want me, and I wish that I could. I wish I were that powerful. And a few years ago, I might have, like, you know, done a couple of things. You know, a couple of things, you know. I didn't forget everything that I did when I was using. Now, I brought some skills in here. Now, I don't use them very often, but I brought some skills. Now, I might be old and fat, but I still have a trick hip. And that's what I want to do whenever I have real feelings. I want to perform. I want to externalize my feelings. So I come in a meeting, and rather than get honest and raise my hand and say what's really going on, I become a professional addict. I want to fix things outside. Because sometimes the pain is so profound. Sometimes you come up flat against it, and all the steps in the world, a sponsor, your home group, your support group, and there's nobody there but you, your God, and how you feel. That's what I have to find out, whether or not this spiritual condition, this good sharing addict, whether or not that guy is willing to surrender again. Whether or not I'm willing to give this last piece the way that I feel. God, can you be trusted when I don't feel like trusting you? How does a spiritual program feel when you don't feel spiritually connected? What do you do when you don't even want to talk to the source? Have you ever had a resentment against God? That's one of the stupidest things in the world, but I certainly have mastered it. I'm going to show you how pissed off I am. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to ask for help. You should know what I want. You're loving, you're caring, you're kind. Get on it. Now, that's the real stuff. That's not the like me trying to share and be spiritual. That's when you actually come up against it. And then when the God of my understanding says what you need to do is get humble. Because where you used to drive, you need to be in the back seat now. Because I'm taking you somewhere that you don't even know. You're going somewhere. You asked for a new way of life. I'm giving it to you. And now you need help. No, you're used to driving, you're used to being the lead, you're used to being in the front, but that's not your gig on this one. On this one, you sit right over here. You sit here, and I tell you what you do. When I say something, then you say that. When I first got clean, they told me we had a 90-day panel, and you couldn't share in my home group until you had 90 days. That's kind of old school, but I'm just telling you how it was for me. They said, because if we want to hear how to get loaded, we'll call you first. Promise. Promise, we'll call you, you. You'll be the first one. Yeah. As a result of this situation going on right now where I can't have what I want, I've had to surrender and surrender and surrender and surrender and surrender and surrender and give up and surrender and keep my mouth shut and surrender and pray and surrender and write and surrender and go to meetings and surrender and pray and surrender and write and surrender and call my sponsor and surrender and pray and surrender and write and surrender and pray. I think there was an answer. Let me say something to you. I'm so grateful here. So grateful. I wanted to tell you something that was going to change your life, but I can only tell you what's changed mine, and that's been Narcotics Anonymous. I want to tell you that I still believe the message, and you know, we talk a lot about a clear NA message, and I just want to say this real quick, that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. That's the message. That's it. Yeah. That's it. That's the message. Yeah. And I also want to tell you, we don't have to keep being sick. We don't have to hold our heads down. We are part of something bigger than us. Something more powerful than us. Something that will be here after I'm long gone. I'm grateful to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. There's a story I heard a long time ago. In this particular African village, whenever a woman finds out that she's pregnant, she gathers her friends around her, and they go out to a distant place, a clearing, and they listen for the song of the baby. And once the baby's song has come up, they start singing the song to each other. When they finish doing that, they go back to the village and they teach the village the baby's song. And the village starts singing the baby's song. Now, they sing this song once when the baby is born. Then they sing this song as the baby is growing and being educated. They sing this song a third time after the baby has grown up and at the point of death. There's a fourth time they sing this song. And that's if at any time in the child's life they lose their way. They sing the song to the child that the mother and her friends heard before the child was born, that they went to the village and taught the people, that they sang when the child was born, that they sang when the child was educated. I'm that child. You're my village. And when I first got here, that first meeting, you guys said something like, keep coming back. Works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. Keep coming back. Works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. Somewhere along the way, I started saying, keep coming back. It works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. I'm getting better. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. I can do this. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. I feel myself. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. I have faith now. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. So work it, you're worth it. I'm getting better. Keep coming back. You sang my song to me. You sang my song to me when I was discouraged. You sang my song to me when I was out of control. You sang my song to me when I was a professional addict. You sang a song to me when I wasn't living in humility. You sang a song to me when I wasn't sure. Thank you for listening to my song. Thank you. My name is Reggie. I'm an addict. Thank you for letting me share.